he'd been 15 too, before you showed up, Jay. But once, long ago, early one June morning, they'd all gone for the strange, mad expedition of it, just to watch Fandango, their horse, being galloped over the downs. Just to stand at the rail and watch it, with other horses, thundering towards them, then flashing past. He and Ma and Pa and Dick and Freddy. And who knows, some other ghostly interested party who really owned the fourth leg. He had a hand on her leg. It was the only time she'd known his eyes go anything close to misty, and she'd had the clear, sharp vision, she would have it still when she was 90, that she might have gone with him, might still somehow miraculously go with him, just him, to stand at the rail and watch Fandango hurtle past, kicking up the mud and dew. She had never seen such a thing, but she could imagine it clearly. The sun still coming up, a red disc over the grey downs, the air still crisp and cold, while he shared with her, perhaps, a silver-capped hip flask, and, not especially stealthily, clawed her arse. But she watched him now move, naked, but for a silver signet ring, across the sunlit room. She would not in later life use with any readiness, if at all, the word stallion for a man. But such he was. He was 23, and she was 22, and he was even what you might call a thoroughbred, though she did not have that word then, any more than she had the word stallion. She did not yet have a million words. Thoroughbred, since it was breeding and birth that counted with his kind, never mind to what actual purpose. It was March 1924. It wasn't June, but it was a day like June, and it must have been a little after noon. A window was flung open, and he walked, unclad, across the sun-filled room, as carelessly as any unclad animal. It was his room, wasn't it? He could do what he liked in it. He clearly could. And she had never been in it before, and never would again. And she was naked too. March the 30th, 1924. Once upon a time. The shadows from the latticework in the window slipped over him like foliage. Having gathered up the cigarette case and lighter and a little silver ashtray from the dressing table, he turned, and there, beneath a nest of dark hair and fully bathed by sunshine, were his cock and balls, mere floppy and still sticky appendages. She could look at them if she liked, he didn't mind. But then he could look at her. She was stretched out naked, except for a pair, her only pair, of very cheap earrings. She hadn't pulled up the sheet. She had even clasped her hands behind her head, the better to look at him. But he could look at her. Feast your eyes. It was an expression that came to her. Expressions had started to come to her. Feast your eyes. Outside, all Berkshire stretched out too, girded with bright greenery, loud with birdsong, blessed in March with a day in June. He was still a follower of horses, that is, he still threw money away on them. It was his version of economising, to throw money away. For nearly 8 years, he'd had money for three, in theory. He called it loot, but he would show he could do without it. And what the two of them had been doing for almost 7 years cost, as he would sometimes remind her, absolutely nothing. Except secrecy and risk and cunning and a mutual aptitude for being good at it. But they had never done anything like this. She had never been in this bed before. It was a single bed, but roomy. Or in this room. Or in this house. If it cost nothing, then this was the greatest of gifts. Though if it cost nothing, she might always remind him, then what about the times when he'd given her sixpences? Or was it even threepences? When it was only just beginning, before it got, was it the right word? Serious. But she would never dare remind him, and not now anyway, or dare throw at him the word serious. He sat on the bed beside her. He ran a hand across her belly as if brushing away invisible dust. Then he arranged on it the lighter and ashtray, retaining the cigarette case. He took two cigarettes from the case, putting one in her own proffered, pouting lips. She had not taken her hands from the back of her head. He lit hers, then his. Then, gathering up the case and lighter to put on the bedside table, he stretched out beside her, the ashtray still positioned halfway between her navel and what these days he would happily, making no bones about it, call her cunt.